In this episode, you'll discover the hidden depths of marital conflict regarding the dark, unspoken and unconscious forces of power and priorities. So welcome in, Heroic Husbands, to the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is your one podcast for learning everything you need to know to become the marriage-transforming hero of your relationship. The three special benefits you'll gain by listening to the end of this episode are: number one, you'll understand why conflicts will always exist until you understand what you're really fighting about. Number two, you'll be armed with three simple questions to recognize if power and priorities are the real driving force behind the conflict. And number three, you'll discover the single universal subconscious reason what we're really fighting to reveal. Let's touch base with yourselves, guys. Do you ever get upset feeling like your wife's opinions or priorities matter more than your own? Or flip side, does she ever project that sort of an argument back in your face? Number two, do you ever get frustrated with your wife for making important decisions you don't agree with or she hasn't asked your opinion on? And again, touch base. Does she ever complain with you about the same things? And number three, have you ever got pissy when you feel like your wife gets to do or experience things that aren't available to you? And the far side of the net as well, does your queen ever project those complaints onto you? In this mini-series, we're going into a deep dive of the dark unspoken forces that drive and deepen marital conflict. What you're really talking about here is the conscious versus the subconscious. The conscious mind is there arguing away and you don't even know. You blink and you're 40 minutes later, 2 hours later, you know, into this mangled mess of like a 50-car pileup of mayhem. And you forget, what's it all about? And in those conflicts, there's always a subconscious force at play. It's really metaphorically, it's the classic metaphor, it's overused, but it's the iceberg metaphor. You know, the conscious, what the words are being thrown at each other. The words, that's the conscious mind. That's just the surface of the iceberg that you see. What is really happening, the emotional charge and the forces that are really driving that conflict to go more and more irrationally flinging shit both sides. The ice under the water, that's the subconscious. My research for this mini-series has been inspired profoundly by Esther Perel. It's not the first time. She's a world-class relationship coach. I've read her books and done her masterclass, and I'm going into the breakdown that she brought on these three different subconscious forces that drive conflict in marriage and in intimate relating. She cites marriage expert Howard Markman. Just want to make sure I get the references in. And he really did a deep dive on the hidden issues beneath superficial skirmishes in his book, Fighting for Your Marriage. So feel free to check that one out. We'll go into it in the most essentialized version of what you need to know here. Underneath all of this, and I spoke to this on the attachment theory issues, really the foundational universal subconscious pulsating thing that's happening in all conflicts is one and both people trying to fill the need to feel that you matter. That's really it. That's the universal human driver. However, to break them down, Esther breaks the three subconscious underlying triggerable points. She breaks them down into power and priorities, closeness and connection, respect and recognition. In this episode here of the mini-series, we're going to be focusing in on power and priorities. Real epicenter to the masculine core beings. Keep listening to this one and definitely keep an eye out for the upcoming episodes, closeness and connection and respect and recognition. So power and priorities. Fights rooted within the issues of power and priorities, even though they 99% of the time they're not recognized that power and priorities are driving them. They tend to be about one of the partners, husband or wife, having a greater sense of agency, or one in which a marriage in which one is less reliant on the other. If, according to Howard Markman in Fighting for Your Marriage, and this is backed up, I've heard this in multiple different teachings, teachers on intimacy and attachment theory books and general relationship books, the person who says no has the power. The same would go for the person who withdraws from serious conversations about the relationship. That person has the power. Now, they have the power temporarily, and where my warning point for you guys is when there's an underlying, you know, the argument coming from a stance of power, you know, it's power and priorities. It's a power play between you. I know for myself, I would withdraw from the so-called serious conversations. I would stonewall. I would just pretend it wasn't there. I'd hope that we could just get off to sleep and wake up the next morning and be the nice guy, you know, just pretend that nothing happened. And in a level, I held a massive power looking back. I held the power of the, you know, if I didn't enter into that conversation, well, Matilda didn't have another husband to discuss with. So if I really ground in on that power and pull that power card to go, no, I'm not going to speak to this anymore, and I would withdraw, that incredible power, that's a massive power play, which, yeah, it seemed like it settled things down in my marriage. In fact, if you spoke to me, you know, pre 6 years ago, my marriage breakdown, breakthrough moment, and when my queen pretty much fell intoxicatingly in love with another guy, I would have been saying to you, man, you know, lot done, more to do, but things have settled down. Like, the last few years have been good. What that was coming from was my subconscious power play, the powers and the priorities. I made that power play to not engage. So temporarily, I had the upper hand in the power stakes. But that really was corroding all the trust and all the connection and all the attraction within my queen, and she went to hopelessness. So yeah, you can play that power play, but you're really marching your marriage towards the cliff edge. And it just takes one reflection that your queen has, or the building reflections. It takes 2 years for a queen on average to contemplate getting divorced before they put the divorce papers on the table. So you can be coming from this subconscious, I've got the power, I won't play to this, I'll dig my heels in, I won't take her crap. And you can get really stubborn and play that power pose move, but you really are driving your marriage towards the cliff edge. Of course, it can happen the other side, that, you know, a queen mightn't speak on a certain topic. The majority of the time, it tends to be guys that stonewall. Stonewalling, it's 90% more often, it's the husband in a marriage that stonewalls. Again, that's that power play. Another key power play is when you're the person who claims they care the least in the relationship. And it's more a case, I don't think anybody really doesn't care at all. It's a pretend, it's a show, it's a persona, it's really a coping strategy. It's the one who is more adept or more capable of feigning indifference. That is another major power play. It's not about the argument. It's not about the conversation there. It's a power. It's a pure power play. Touch base with yourself. You know, have you ever sort of had this idea in your mind that, well, if, you know, if it came to it, you'd be fine without your wife? I literally screamed that at my wife. I said that to her in our worst of arguments. I played this story that I'd be fine. If she dropped me, if I'd be fine. She'd be the one that would be devastated. It was a story that I used to really, yeah, I suppose it grounded me temporarily. It made me feel strong, but it was really hiding from the oceanic depth of shame and felt inadequacy that I felt about my own lack of emotionality or connection with my own emotions, my sensitivity, my sensuality, my sexual beingness. These are all things that my beautiful wife, my queen, was yearning from me, was calling from me, and I just didn't know how to go there. So it's like the last refuge of the persona is to feign indifference, is to feign, you know, to put this pretend show off. Well, you know, if it's such an important thing for you, but like, why do you, you know, it's like, why do you keep bringing this up? This isn't an issue for me. Why do you keep bringing it up? It's a major power play. The major issue that I believe as a generation of men in marriage we need to pay attention to is it's a power play because it tries to put out the fire of our wives' desire to speak, our wives' desire to call us to account, our wives' desire to go, I can't take this anymore. You're going to talk about the second one is closeness and connection. It's like the feminine core being at the center of our queen's hearts and souls, like their whole nervous system is like, when there's not that closeness and connection there, that's such a brutally, exquisitely intense pain for them to bear. They really, and that's not a weakness, that's their strength, that's their superpower. But when it comes to the power and the priority subconscious game, us men can happen with women, of course, but we tend to be the ones that will play that because we don't know how to do the closeness and the connection from childhood days. We have had emotional connection and sensitivity and, you know, just owning when we feel vulnerable. We have had that so shamed out of us that we end up almost like with no option unless you do deep work, one-on-one work, shadow work, men's work, etc., etc., to, you know, get into a brotherhood of men and into an environment where you can reclaim the connection, the closeness, and your yearning to connect, which takes deep emotional connection within yourself and self-acceptance. So we tend to hide behind the whole power and priorities thing. There's underlying questions that will help you trigger reflections to recognize in a moment if the power slash priority subconscious sort of, if the, what's the explosive, if the TNT is there, if the explosive, if the gunpowder, that's the words I was looking for, if the gunpowder is there on a power and priorities subconscious part, you know, because what's really super powerful in this is to recognize, oh, that's the gunpowder. Wow, this isn't about what we're talking about. This is about power and priorities. I would say the whole point from masculine practice, you know, this episode is not to give you more, you know, more missiles to throw at your queen. You know, oh, I listened to the podcast episode and Mark said, this is about power and priorities. Hey, you, and you throw bad language, horror, and cuss her and go, hey, this is, you know, it's like, it's not to become aware to just go, oh, this is the problem and fling crap. You know, the devil can quote scriptures for his own purposes. It's, you can weaponize pretty much every single thing you'd listen to on this podcast. It's really to help you recognize, wow, you know, if there's this tsunami going off inside you, your amygdala thalamus is going crazy, there's emotional reactivity in you, there's emotional reactivity in your queen, it's your masculine practice to go, ah, let's stop flinging these words at each other and let's go deeper. And you go deeper not to find more knives to throw at your queen, but to go, okay, there's a deeper issue here. And if we can speak to this in a clearer manner, we can tidy this whole thing up, because why? We'll be at the root of what the issue is. At the source, at the mechanism of it. Not talking about the symptom. you know, the burst pipe is the mechanism. The mopping the wet floor, the puddle on your wooden floor every single time, that's wiping away the symptom. You really want to get to the burst pipe. So there's a few underlying questions that our nervous systems are trying to answer subconsciously when the power and priorities explosive gunpowder is firing both sides or one side. They come from attachment theory. You know, one question is, do your priorities and opinions matter more than mine? It's a real key one. I know when I was writing this episode, you know, it was coming back for years. It's like, wow, you know, the work priority drove my queen Matilda crazy. Do your priorities and opinions matter more than mine? And hey, there was their part wounding. Yeah, there was. Hey, there's going to be wounding both sides. But that was a power and priority situation that if I could go back now, I'd be able to approach Matilda and go, hey, baby, this really just feels like it's a subconscious layer of power and priorities. And, you know, it seems to me like you're feeling I am just like wantonly prioritizing work, and I'm putting my power to just go into the work, and that feels really off for you. So it's like, let's talk about the power and priorities here. And it would have allowed me enter that conversation way more tactfully. You know, Matilda would take control of the kitchen space. She prioritized herself. It was a power play. She owned the kitchen, you know, and it's like that really triggered me a lot. And now, you know, again, going back, we had so countless arguments about that. I felt like it triggered me. My mother seemed to play the exact same thing with my dad, and it just really pissed me off. I got really triggered with that. And, you know, again, this having this information now going back, I'd be able to enter those conversations and get to the mechanism, get to the burst pipe and have a sit down, have a chat about them, flush it out. In the opinions, you know, do your priorities and opinions matter more than mine? Fuck, like, honestly, I had such a lack of a ground in my truth that any opinion that my queen, you know, pushed forward more powerful or more intensely than mine, it pissed me off. So the next question is, who gets to make decisions? A perception that the other person has the power to make decisions over you. It's a really destructive thing. You know, like, touch base with yourself. Are there times when if you asked that question, it would get to the gunpowder, it would get to the burst pipe, where, you know, the messiness of the conflict is the puddle of water on the wooden floor, but the real mechanism is, hey, is this issue about who gets to make the decisions, and thus is there one party feeling they don't have the power to get in on that decision? It's a real major thing. It's like, you know, making a purchase. I had a memory of a major argument and tension. My dad was really fucking annoyed about that. And it's like my mother was really pushing forward her argument to buy, I think she bought a petrol car. My dad wanted a diesel car. And I remember at the time, you know, I was mid-teenage years. I remember feeling massive tension in the house for a couple of days. And I perceived it looking back that my mother sort of steamrolled his opinions and just went with her own and got a local garage man with a completely biased sort of way of talking to him to agree with her. And then that's it. We bought a petrol car. They bought a petrol car. So who gets to make the decisions? It's a really key thing. Touch base with yourself. Does that question help you recognize power and priorities type gunpowder and issues, burst pipes behind the scenes? The last question is, do you get to do things that aren't available to me? And this can be both sides. Do you get to do things that aren't available to me? So there's like a split standards, there's double standards. It's like, oh, well, that's okay for you, but then you don't, that's not okay for me. I was thinking about this, Matilda, myself. We had this ding-dong battle, and so crazy looking back. But, you know, one of the most triggerable things is if one of us were sitting down and chilling out and relaxing, the other would be, it was like this high irrational triggerability of, oh, well, isn't it fine for you that you're able to relax? We had such a victimhood, like at our worst of times. But it was coming from, do you get to do things that aren't available to me? It's a real key power and priorities thing. That question can really be super revealing. Just touch base with yourself, you know, does that bring up insights for you? Do you get to do things that aren't available to me? You know, does your queen get to do things that aren't available to you? And are you getting to do things that aren't available to her? Does she perceive a double standards? It will bring you to the burst pipe of the mechanism where it's power and priorities. These are these super potent dark forces that until you bring them to the light of day, until you recognize, man, we're going to have these. You know, if you find that you're having cyclical arguments on these three questions, you know, like, do your priorities and opinions matter more than mine? Who gets to make decisions? Do you get to do things that aren't available to me? They're really potent questions that Esther Perel puts forward. You know, she has 30, 40 years experience in this game. If those trigger deep emotional responses in you, well, until you really bring that conversation to your queen and sit down and internally go, wow, you know, until you can get to what this, where the subconscious gunpowder is, where the burst pipe is, well, you're going to be cyclically wiping the floor up, mopping the floor, just getting rid of the symptom, waiting for another shitty argument to come because you haven't got to the root of the issue, which is the burst pipe. Super, super potent information. You know, one thing to ask in a conflict, and there's going to be three guiding questions in the three different subconscious driving forces, unspoken driving forces in conflict. You know, simply asking, is this conflict more about power and priorities than the words being spoken? That can help you come to a more conscious awareness of what's driving the current situation. That's it for power and priorities. Keep an eye out for part two coming next episode, where we'll do a deep dive into the dark unspoken and unconscious forces in marital conflict. Part two is closeness and connection. You're going to really want to listen into that if you want to be able to master the tsunami. The closeness and connection is very closely linked to the foundational feminine wound, so it's going to be absolute of incredible importance to listen to that. Coming into landing, check out the coaching page link in the podcast episode notes. I really don't want you guys to miss out on this. Due to, I'm just going to own it and I'm proud of it, like the work that I've been doing, due to the remarkable results husbands are achieving in one-on-one coaching with me, and for other reasons, I'm writing a book next year and doing epic cool stuff. I'm raising my fees from 5,000 euro to 20,000 euro for one-on-one coaching with me from January 1st, 2026. So really, please don't miss your best ever moment to access one-on-one coaching with me. Just go and, like, in the podcast notes, you can get to the coaching page. Read some of the kick-ass testimonials. They're regular dudes like yourself, and hey, they probably thought, wow, that's quite a bit of money, but they invested. Read their testimonials, and if there's a core part of you goes, man, I would love to experience some of that epic shit for me, the success rate is phenomenally high. Book your no obligations free intro call. You know, kick the tires, you get to speak with me, and if it feels like a hell yes to you and a hell yes to me at the end of it, hey, that you could have just made the most life-transforming decisions, and you'd be entering 2026 in hero husband status while very wisely saving 15,000 euro. Why wait, guys? Coming into landing, full appreciation to you guys listening in. Catch the next episode in this mini-series. It's super potent information in perfect alignment with the mantra of this movement. Better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazingly beautiful kingly day.